This is Diamond Dingers,
a baseball podcast.
What's up? The preview episodes are done. We're back. How you doing, Jibby? I haven't really talked to you much this week.
Yeah, man, it's been good. A lot of sports to watch. Obviously, a lot of excitement in the baseball world. With the World Baseball Classic and spring training wrapping up.
Yeah. Dude, I'm so done with spring training. Like, I've watched a couple episodes. I've watched a couple games. But, you know, I'm just done. I just want real baseball because it doesn't matter. But it is cool to see the starting pitchers get stretched out and everything.
Yeah, we're starting to see the actual lineups shape up and 6 days away from opening day. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. Yeah. But you mentioned it. You talked about the WBC. You said that real quick. That was a hell of a tournament. I wasn't sure what it was going to be like going into it, but that was a lot of fun. I will say, though, I'm sure we'll talk about the new rules extensively at some other point, but man, that tournament made me grateful for the pitch clock because those games were so long.
They dragged out for a long time. Thankfully, we're on the West Coast, and East Coast games don't drag too late for us, but yeah, I'm excited for the pitch clock and a little bit more base stealing with bigger bases. I think the pitch clock plays into that as well.
Yeah. Great final games, too. U.S.-Venezuela was great with Trey Turner's grand slam for freedom. The Cuba game, I barely watched it because it was pretty evident who the better team was. And then, you know, the U.S. and Japan, I watched pretty much all that game, including the final out between Shohei and Trout, which is just, I mean, dude, that's just storybook right there. You can't script a better ending.
Is it scripted? That's what I want to know. Are the baseball gods up there scripting this tournament?
I don't know. I mean,
line that up more perfect.
I will say this. Japan brings most of their best pitchers. The U.S. doesn't. And guess who wins the tournament? Japan. But hopefully in, you know, 2026, the U.S. gets some better pitching in there. Because, man, I mean, no offense to Merrill Kelly and Kyle Friedland, but I don't think those guys should be pitching for their country in a final.
But in their defense, a 3-2 game, you don't go into a baseball game, you know, on the World Baseball Classic stage and expect two runs is going to win you the game.
No, I mean, yeah, the U.S.'s offense had a lot of opportunities and just couldn't get it done. And it's two solo shots. But, dude, I mean, that Japan team, they play good fundamental baseball. Their pitching is like top to bottom. Everyone throws a nasty splitter. They're crazy. And, you know,
that must be a really common pitch over there. A lot of the Japanese pitchers threw that splitter. And it is nasty.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, I think that's, I'm curious to see Kota Senga has a crazy breaking ball. Someone who didn't actually pitch for Japan, but no, it was a fun tournament. You got the kid from Nicaragua that struck out Juan Soto and Julio Rodriguez, and I think Rafi Devers too, and then got signed immediately by the Tigers. That was cool. So, what other teams made a run? Australia advanced, but got beat. You know,
it's cool. Venezuela was one of the most surprising teams.
I wasn't surprised by them, dude. You and I talked about this, but they had so much freaking talent. Especially on the infield and with Ronald Acuna and Salvi Perez was insane in this tournament. He was no Trey Turner, but he was seeing the ball really well.
It's hard to match what Trey Turner and Ohtani did in this tournament.
Yeah, dude. I mean, if I'm a Phillies fan, I'm watching this going, thank God Trey Turner came out of this healthy because he was the best hitter on the planet for like half a week.
Well, and then his first game back in spring training, he pops another one.
Oh, did he?
Takes it to left field.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, first game back in spring training, takes one deep to left field.
The only Phillies thing I've seen over the last week is the video of Hoskins tearing his ACL, which is just awful.
Which, yeah, these two events happen in the same game, which are kind of bittersweet.
Oh, did it? Gross. Nah.
Yeah, it sounds like Hoskins will be out for this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, and this is his walk year, too. Like, he's a free agent after this year, and he's a Boras client, so you know he's going to go get that money. But it's funny, I saw a video on Twitter today, and someone posted his bat flip or bat spike. yeah, against the Braves, and they were like, this is one of the final memories we'll have of Rhys Hoskins as a Philly. I'm like, it's a lot of worse memories, final memories to have of somebody.
Do you think the Phillies don't bring him back?
I don't know, dude. He's a Boris client. He's going to want a lot of money. You know, he's just kind of a power first baseman. So, I don't know. I will say this, though. You know, the free agency class for hitters, it's awful next year. Like, outside of Ohtani, like, Teoscar Hernandez is the best it's going to get. So, someone will pay him.
Yeah, I mean, and speaking of Ohtani, he put on a show and not let us down in the World Baseball Classic on the highest stage. Granted, this is the only time we get to see Ohtani and Trout in the highest stage. The Angels are always underwhelming. But the matchup between him and Trout at the very end of the game just pumps the fastballs by him at 102 miles an hour. Trout can't even catch up and then hits him with the 89-mile-an-hour slider.
I know, dude. That was, and the thing was, I was reading an article by Eno Saris today, and he was pointing out, he's like, look, he's like, Trout's not just because he's getting older doesn't mean he's getting worse. Like, he's hitting the ball harder and farther. So if you're thinking like, oh man, should I draft Mike Trout in fantasy? I do it. I had him last year and he was awesome when he was healthy. But like, those are two of the best players on the planet. And Shohei won. And so that should tell you like who's on top right now.
I say you put those guys against each other 10 times. I can't tell you who I think comes out on top.
I don't know. That's tough. Trout was having a rough day, though.
Yeah. Trout's only had 24 swing and miss strikeouts in his career.
Yeah, something like that.
But yeah, Ohtani did on the plate side, too. I mean, he hit 435 in this tournament. 8 RBIs. Yeah. Masataka Yoshida, the Red Sox new left fielder. He hit 409, 13 RBIs, 2 homers. I think that guy in this tournament proved he can hit major league level pitching.
Yeah, I think we were saying his name wrong. I think I said it like Matasaka Yoshida. I don't know, man. There's so many vowels and cuts, whatever. But, you know, I was impressed with him. I mean, he hit that nuke in Miami, and I was going, okay, I thought this was – because when they signed him for that much, I thought it raised my eyebrows. But seeing that, going, okay, this dude can hit the heck out of the ball as long as he can have a decent left field glove. The Red Sox might have gotten a good deal there.
Yeah, I agree. Also, that's one of the more interesting parts of this whole tournament, too, is just seeing the players that maybe not get the recognition from their local countries getting to play on a large stage like this, and you're seeing players get signed.
Yeah, that was really cool. Did you see the Cuban bullpen catcher that stayed in the U.S. when the rest of the team went back to Cuba?
Yeah, what was that about? I didn't get to read the article on it. I just saw the headliners.
Yeah, it was just, you know, he didn't want to go home to Cuba, so he just stayed here. I was like, okay, good on you, dude. You took your chance. I don't think he's like an active player. He's just a bullpen catcher, but, you know, if you don't want to live in Cuba, there's only one way to get to the U.S., so, and it's not pretty.
Yeah, I mean, some other stand-up performances, too, like, I'm going to butcher this name, and granted, I don't know Japanese names that well, but Munetaka Murakami, he nuked pretty that close. Ball.
That guy has such an interesting, he's kind of got a Shohei-esque stance, but when he snaps, dude, whew, he's got a quick swing, and he hits it hard. He had a bad tournament up until those final two games, but now he swung a hot bat at the end. Luis Arias against the U.S. hit those two homers. I think he's hit like 20 homers total in his whole career in MLB. So, I mean, I'm sure Miami fans are, all 5 Miami fans are really stoked that that happened. Who else? Yu Chang had a great pool, played well in pool play. And then Randy Arozarena. It's funny because, you know, Randy Arozarena becomes a star in this tournament, and then he's going to do nothing in the regular season. And then if they make the playoffs, he'll be good again. So that's a guy that just seems to show up when the lights are brightest, which is good, but, you know, you also want guys who show up when the lights aren't on.
Yeah, he's got the clutch factor for sure. It's really interesting watching Japan, too, because they just play the game different than what you see in the MLB and even in the, you know, Cuban ball or Dominican Republic. They play the game different. The pitchers all seem to have similar types and swing types. But the heart that was in Japan's team stands out to me a lot. I mean, the U.S. had a lot of heart, too. I think all the clubs do. But really just seeing how serious they take it.
Oh, yeah. This is their Super Bowl. But that's not a joke. I mean, they had like 62 million people watching. I believe I saw a stat. I'm not kidding. 97.5% of TVs in Japan were tuned into this game, which is crazy. That's insane.
Yeah, that's nuts. I don't know how that compares with the actual like World Series over here, but I'm assuming it comes pretty close.
I think it's more. I don't think the World Series gets over like 100 million. But I couldn't possibly comment on that. I had one other thing I wanted to say on the WBC, but it's slipping my mind. Oh, the Dominican Republic. How they just crash and burned.
Oh, they let us down. I think that's why Venezuela was kind of like surprising to me, is because they were overshadowed by the Dominican Republic team.
Yeah, I mean, the DR had great pitching, and Sandy Alcantara got lit up in their game against Venezuela. You know, maybe the DR just kind of came in. They're like, we're the favorites. Like, we're a stacked team. Who's going to beat us? And then teams went out and beat them, teams that wanted it more. So I think you saw a little bit of that with the U.S. and Mexico, where Mexico just wanted it more, and the U.S. just was like, okay, well, we're going to coast. Whatever. We don't care. But, yeah, the DR bowing out like that with how freaking stacked that team was crazy. I will say, though, I probably will say this until I die, not that I'm going to be talking about this tournament up until my dying day, but that team, I think, misses Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Yeah, I think so, too. I don't know if that is enough to pull him into making the championship game, but I think he definitely adds a lot to a team.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention Sosuke Genda, who's playing with a broken pinky at shortstop. You watch some of these U.S. guys or guys that are playing in the major league this year who just have an injury scare, and they're immediately taking them out and having trainers, which I respect. You don't want to hurt your player, but the amount of heart that he has to play with a broken pinky in a game like that.
Yeah. No, that was crazy. And then I guess my final note on the WBC. Did you see Lars Nootbaar, like how popular he became in Japan? Did you see any of that?
A little bit.
So he had 90K Instagram followers before the tournament. After the tournament, dude has 900K. Like, he became a superstar in Japan, like over a span of a couple of weeks. And he's just a kid from Southern California.
And then his teammates are telling him, don't bring that medal back into this locker room.
I saw Michaelis say that. That was funny. But yeah, I mean, WBC was fun. I can't wait for it in 3 years. I know a lot of people are like, oh, it's stupid, it's dumb, should have it middle of the season, end of the season. Look, if you're going to play it, this is the time to play it. It was fun. It clearly means a lot to these players. You know, with Edwin Diaz, it's like, if you ask Edwin Diaz, hey, which jersey would you rather wear, Puerto Rico or Mets? He's going to say Puerto Rico every time. But nonetheless, I thought it was fun. It was a fun tournament.
Well, yeah, the single game elimination, it's high intensity every single game. Players are playing for their countries, which has a lot of pride in it. It brings a lot more excitement. And not necessarily more excitement, but it's just different excitement than what the MLB brings in a regular season.
Yeah. It feels a little bit like the World Cup to me. I know you're not a big soccer guy, but you know, it's everything matters. Every minute matters. Every AB matters. Everything you do matters because you've got your country on your chest and you're representing more than just yourself. So, but
it'll be popular too in the next World Baseball Classic, you know, because now the MLB is starting to do the World Tour with some of their games. I don't know if, I think it's the Cardinals that go over and play in London.
Yeah,
so
I would expect those. Padres are going down to Mexico, so.
Yep. But so I think your viewership in the next World Baseball Classic may even be larger than it was this time.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, we are less than a week from opening day. And we're so close, dude. I don't know how I'm going to make it over the next 6 days, but we've kind of looked over, you know, the opening series. There's some good ones. You know, to be honest, not as many great games as I thought there would be, but part of that's just opening day, like whatever. It's that's just kind of how it is. But it's no matter. I know you have three series that you're like, these are the ones I definitely want to watch, like keep an eye on. What are those?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the Phillies Rangers, the Mariners Guardians, and the Brewers Cubs. What about you? What are you looking out for opening day?
For me, I'm interested in Baltimore and Boston, Toronto and St. Louis, and then the White Sox and Houston. I think that Blue Jays Cardinals series could be. Whew, those are two top 10 teams in baseball. So.
Yeah, I mean Toronto. I think they're the runner up for the AL East this year, and then St. Louis. Obviously, I think they're the favorite to win in the Central, but. I like the Chicago White Sox-Houston matchup. Framber Valdez running it back. Clinched the World Series for Houston last year. And then you got Dylan Cease, who was the runner-up for the Cy Young.
Mm-hmm. The
pitching startup on that game's going to be great.
Yeah. And with Baltimore-Boston, I'm just curious to see what both those teams look like. So, but, yeah, I mean, dude, your Mariners-Guardians matchup, not yours, you don't own that matchup, but... it's got a battle of the aces.
Battle of the aces. I want to see what the Guardians are made of. Again, obviously, they did it last year. They won the Central. They added Josh Bell, which is going to be a little more pop in the lineup. I'm curious to see how they start out. Can they run it back and kind of do the similar thing? And then the Mariners are just, I think the Mariners are a team to play with in the AL West. So I think it's a really interesting matchup, more so the pitching than anything.
Yeah, and they're on the road at Seattle. And that, you know, that place is going to be rocking for sure.
Oh, yeah, Seattle, they always provide a fun place to play.
I haven't been there in years. I should really get back up there. But, yeah, so that's kind of what we're looking forward to. Obviously, we'll watch our own teams. Padres play the Rockies, whatever. And then the Giants are in New York, yeah?
Yeah, Giants are in New York. It's Logan Webb facing off against Garrett Cole.
That's going to be a good one. That's going to be a good one.
Not necessarily team matchup that I'm looking at, but pitching matchup. Max Scherzer for the Mets against Sandy Alcantara for the Marlins.
Yeah, I mean, I think Mets will probably win that game, but that is a great opening day matchup of aces. So two NL Cy Young contenders for sure.
Well, and we didn't even touch on the Phillies-Rangers game that I brought up. Aaron Nola versus DeGrom.
Yeah, the Phillies without Hoskins and Harper to start the season. It'll be interesting to see how much they slug, how Trey Turner settles in. And then your Brewers-Cubs, I mean, see what the Cubs have done. You know, see if Milwaukee can hit a little more.
Yeah, I think two teams, well, obviously, we didn't expect much from the Cubs last year. We expected more from the Brewers, so I want to see what the Brewers are season moves. So. Seeing how those pieces play together. Obviously, they're not going to show their tell day one, but...
No.
I'm excited. Excited for that matchup a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like 2 years ago, the Dodgers lost in Colorado. If you lose opening day, it doesn't make you not a contender. But it is cool to see, you know, oh, here's what the team kind of looks like after spring training, and teams will evolve over the season, but still, I mean, it's... I don't know. What's a good way to put it? It's like your first taste of ice cream in like a year. You don't really care what flavor it is. You're just glad that you taste it. That's probably a freaking terrible analogy.
For me, I think I'd relate it more to spring. And, you know, coincidentally, that happens to be when opening day is as well. But the first smell of fresh cut grass, the sun shining down. I think there's a lot of nostalgic moments that come with opening day more so than just... watching baseball.
You're such a poet, Juby. God. yeah, I don't think I have anything else to say on that. Are there any kind of final notes of things you've noticed throughout the spring? Like any injuries, any, you know, position battles, any pitchers coming up? I did note a couple things with the Braves real quick. We were talking about Vaughn Grissom last week. He got sent down. Orlando Arcia is going to be their starting shortstop. And Mike Soroka also got sent down. So I thought that was interesting.
Soroka is going to be back up. That guy has too much talent to be down in the minors.
100%.
Grissom, that was surprising. Maybe they want his bat to get a little bit better.
the two guys that they had that were competing with Arcia, Brandon Shoemake, I think it's Braden Shoemake, excuse me, and Vaughn Grissom, they just weren't impressed enough with Grissom's defense, and they weren't impressed enough with Shoemake's bat. I guess Shoemake, like, is like Dansby Swanson level defender. He's awesome at that, but he just can't hit. So Arcia is kind of the best of both. And I mean, honestly, I heard this in another podcast on The Athletic. They made a great point. They're like, look, if you can get good defense out of the shortstop position and the rest of your lineup is stacked, who freaking cares? Like, you're good. You'll be fine.
Which the Braves definitely have an argument for.
Oh, absolutely, dude. That's like the one position that isn't that in left field where there isn't a star player. So,
I mean, position battles on other teams, though, maybe a little bit biased, but obviously the New York Yankees in the shortstop battle.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, IKF clearly is not going to be starting there. They're starting to play him in center and left. Peraza hit 305 or 302 last year when he got brought up. Volpe only played like 22 games in AAA, but he has just been tearing it up. Personally, I don't think they give him the run to actually be in the. It is an interesting competition for the shortstop.
Yeah, I mean, y'all have a handful of position battles. Like, how's the? I mean, I don't know this. The outfield, I saw Aaron Judge made a plan left. Is that like where he's going to be every day, or are they just going to flip him? Like, what the hell's the plan?
I think Judge is such a talented athlete; he can play anywhere, and I think they're just testing him out. They can get some experience before you're playing in New York.
I don't think it matters where he plays. I mean, that bat obviously plays anywhere, but you could probably stick him at third and he'd be fine.
I mean, he did play, I think, first base in college.
Did he?
And he was taking some reps at first base earlier in spring training. Not in an actual game in practice, but.
Right.
But still.
Can you imagine running down the line and seeing 6'7" just standing there?
It definitely makes for a big target at first base.
Absolutely. You know? So Josh Donaldson, he won't be able to miss that target. Not that he's going to play there, but you get the point.
Hey, he's great. He is great on defense. It's really just the bat. He's not the rain like he used to in his earlier days.
No, he's not the bringer of rain, despite what his Twitter handle might say. I'm not the critiquer of Josh Donaldson that you are. I'm sure people who listen to this podcast will they'll find out about your love for Donaldson's bat eventually.
What about you though? Any other position battles, team shape ups that you're looking for?
Nah, I mean, the Braves was probably the most interesting that I've paid attention to. My team has not done it's not been super nothing really noteworthy. Although Tatis is looking great, but doesn't matter. He's not going to play till the 20th. But I have a bone to pick with MLB The Show 23 about that. But I'm sure we'll talk about that game at some point. No, yeah. I mean, it's just kind of the Braves moves. It seems those have gotten the most traction because, I mean, rosters are not set yet. Teams are kind of slowly sending people down. But I don't know. We'll find out. I think when camp breaks Monday, right, that's when everything will be finalized.
Yeah, I don't think they have to have the – I think they have to have the opening day rosters set on Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Opening day Thursday, the 30th.
Look at us baseball fans. We don't know when it is. I don't remember when they I want to say it wasn't the day before opening day last year. But last year's offseason was crazy, so maybe things were different. But it does feel weird to like have a full spring training, though. Because like we got the abridged version last year.
Yeah, it's been, what, 2-3 years since we've had a normal spring training?
Yeah, yeah.
First, the player lockout and then COVID.
Yeah, and 2021 was, you obviously had a lot of COVID stuff there too. But yeah, I think...
You want to touch on the new rule changes this year?
I think we can touch on that in another episode. I think we've seen it like in action in spring training, but I think it's going to be interesting to see it like actually in a real MLB game that matters. I think that's when I'd like to touch on it and kind of see how it actually plays in a game.
The pitch clock has been interesting in spring training, watching Scherzer kind of toss it. I don't think you're going to see things like that this season.
No. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see
where the season takes us.
I think it's good for the game. Makes it more accessible to people because baseball's whole thing has been, it's too long and I don't want to watch it. It's like, I mean, the Mets-Braves game, I think, yesterday was like 2 hours and 8 minutes, which I think is way too short. But for some people, that's great. So, I don't know. I'm also sure there was a lot of pressure from TVs to like, hey, we need the games to be under 3 hours. We're not going to broadcast them.
Especially for spring training. I think spring training, certain games are going to be a lot quicker. I think when you start seeing games on national television broadcasting, it's going to be a little bit longer.
Yeah. But no, that's pretty much all I got. I mean, it's kind of quick episode on the WBC and opening day and, you know, go from there, record something next week and bada bing, bada boom.
Just excited for baseball to be back.
Oh, it's finally here. And I'm
ready for some summer or spring weather at least. You know, we're still in winter going into April. We're still waking up with snow on the ground. So,
yeah, no, there's snow, a little snow here too. And it's like, it's about to be April. Can winter just... I'm not going to say what I want winter to do, but I think people get it. I think people get it. I'm ready for summer, probably more than I have been in a while. So,
yeah, spring baseball weather and some summer weather. Maybe not in the 100 degrees, but I'm ready to break out of the 40s. 100%. Last year was like 70 degrees this time of year. So I wouldn't mind some mid-70s.
Yeah, dude, it was like 36 today, which is just stupid. But anyways, I think that pretty much wraps up this episode of Diamond Dingers. We've gotten a decent amount of listens, actually, over the last week or so. So we appreciate everyone that has listened. It's been awesome.
We appreciate you tuning in to this whole episode if you listened to our little forecasting and reporting. But
yeah, whatever. Who cares what we have to say, you know, except our listeners, with all 20 of them.
I'm about as correct on the weather as they are, so.
What?
I'm about as correct on the weather as weathermen are, so.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know. The groundhog came out of his hole and crawled back in, and I think that's what I'm going to do right about now.
But yeah, thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next time.